Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
It's time to start our services today. Welcome, everyone. Let's all stand and sing both songs on page 52. We'll start with Amazing Grace. Once we're finished with that, we will sing the song at the bottom of the page. He's all I need.
Good morning, everybody. It's good to see everybody out today. How is everybody?
Fine.
I got a fine. Good. Good to see everybody. I hope you've had a good week this week, and I hope you've been blessed by the Lord in some great way. I know traffic has been worse. I know that a lot of congestion around because of a lot of worldly things that are going on. But what about your mind? Got any traffic in there? We keep it, don't we? But the best thing we can do to calm down that traffic is let the Lord in. And that's what I want to suggest to us today is let's take a moment, and I know it's hard to do as far as getting the things of the world out of our mind and just where we can come together and worship the Lord. I think it's important for us today to just clear our minds for a little while and just say, all right, Lord, Let me get my mind on you and your cause here for the next hour or so. Then after we get outside of the church house and we can go on back our way, then let it come back. Have you ever done that? I tell you what, it is amazing to let the Lord take care of something for us if you'll do that. And the reason why I say that is because there's so many times that I get things on my mind and I get things that's bothering me in there, and I just kind of, I have to step back sometimes and just say, Lord, take care of it a little while. If I'm going into a church service, I'll say, Lord, can you just take this all away for a little while? Maybe I can have a good time in you. And that's what I'm going to suggest that you do today. Let's look for opportunity to praise God. Let's look for an opportunity to worship the Lord today. And that's what I want us to do in this service. It's good to have everybody with us today. We've got a lot of visitors with us again today. And I hope you'll allow the Lord to bless you too as you're here today. And we just appreciate each and every one coming out. Just come in and worship the Lord with us today is what we're going to ask you to do. One of the things, for our visitors' sake, I like to explain it from time to time. We have what we call a little children's church. We invite all the children to come up, and they come together with Brother Sam, and he'll have just a little bit of time with our children for a few minutes. Brother Sam, if you would.
Keep coming up. Very good. What a good-looking group. Y'all are the stars of the day service. You know that? You are. Very good. Well, it just seems like pink is the order of the week here. There were some pink dresses last week. I'm going to have to wear my pink shirt so y'all don't show me up so bad. I hope y'all had a good week. Everybody ready everybody ready to be out of school? How much longer you got? A couple weeks? A couple months? 42 years? That's how long it seemed when I was y'all's age. It's going to take so long to get out of school. But I wish I could go back there now. You know, time flies when you get out of school, so enjoy it while you can. Y'all remember some time ago, and it might have been over here, that we talked about that y'all are born either as a boy or a girl, and that's it. That's by God's design. And you know what he said about that? Y'all have heard of David, the psalmist? David, look at me now, the psalmist. He said, I am wonderfully made. You know what he meant? He meant a lot of things by that. That the Lord was very unique and perfect in his design of me. My body is in his image. And so it suited him to make you like you are. The sad part that I see in today is there are many people who want to, I say, trifle with that. They want you to, and they're looking at your generation. A lot of places, in schools and everywhere, that if you think that you might be a girl, Ben, or if you think you might be a boy, that's okay. Just live your life like that. That's wrong. Amen. That's wrong, people. Amen. And I don't think God is pleased with that. But the sad part of it is that so many of them will get up there and listen to me now, will say that, well, God wanted this. God approves of this because God is like this. God is a male, and that's it. And he's not changing for anybody. And you, each one of you, is wonderful in your design. And don't let anybody tell you any different. And it's evil what's going on about that. And it pains me to have to talk about this, but it's been on my mind, okay? But listen to what the Bible said about that kind of sin. He said, for thou art not a God that hath pleasure in wickedness. I think it's wicked what they're trying to force upon people your age. And it's going on this day and age. And it's going to be worse next year and the year after that. So you'll be talking to your parents about such things that you might see, about questions that you might have. And I know that they will guide you correctly. But above all, know that God does not approve of that. It said, neither shall evil dwell with him. He doesn't approve of evil. He doesn't like the wickedness. He doesn't like the perversion that I call it. You may not know what that means. You will someday. That's being forced upon you. God help you to maintain your identity. You're all perfect as a boy or a girl, you know. And you can't change yourself. If you wanted to be a woman, you couldn't be, you know. Nothing was ever born without a mama. You know, you got to be a woman to have a child. Don't let anybody tell you any different, you know. And God planned it such that it was perfect. And I'm going to be on God's side, okay? I'm going to side with God. So y'all stand up after me and repeat this verse, okay? You can say it. It's kind of long, but we can say it. Y'all have the voices. Say it loud. Say it like you mean it. Okay? And say it like you wanted the neighbors to hear it. For thou art not God that hath pleasure in wickedness. Neither shall evil dwell with thee.
Thank you very much.
Appreciate this good lesson. And it's good that we study these things from time to time. And we live in a world these days that is, as Brother Sam is trying to perverse this country and our people and our young people. And as he said, God does not approve of these sins. And by that, we understand that God wants us to stay as pure as we possibly can be. And I believe we can all do better is what I want to say first of all. But one of the things we need to do is to teach our children the truth. And that truth comes from the Word of God. Appreciate each and every one being here today. We're glad to see each and every one of you here today. We're going to be going to the Lord in prayer here in just a few minutes. I wonder if anybody's got a prayer request upon your heart before we go any further in the service. Yes. Yes. Let's remember this in our prayers. Like I say, we appreciate everybody being here today. I always say, everybody pray. I always say, pray in your own way. Now, if you like to pray out loud, that's fine. If you like to pray quietly, you pray quietly. The main thing is, you need to pray. A lot of times we say we want to listen to somebody pray. Well, that's okay, and you can get a blessing out of that. But think how much more you can get out of a prayer if you pray. And so that's what I want you to do today. You just pray and talk to the Lord. We'll call on one to start our prayer, but we want everybody to pray in your own way. Brother Seth, good to have you back today. Good to have you. Would you lead us in prayer?
We had a request a couple of days ago to sing a song, probably older than anyone here, written in 1928. Turn to page 94, an old song entitled, It Won't Be Very Long. Turn over to 202. Ladies, sing out on the melody down in the chorus. 202. Man, y'all are really singing this morning. Choir stand, and we'll do one more song. Page 56. Heard this song not too long ago. And it's a fantastic song.
Thank you.
Always appreciate Brother Brad and leading the singing. Always appreciate Sister Janice playing like she does. We are thankful for these that takes part in the singing, and I hope you've been blessed thus far in the service. Anybody got anything on your heart this morning? Word of testimony or anything? Go ahead. Lord bless. Bless you, Elizabeth. We do want to continue to pray for this family. They've had a lot of troubles over the last years, and I have to agree with Brother Sam on one of his statements that he hoped that he could be like Sister Mona and the family, being in church even though they've had so many hardships. And we need to continue to pray for them. Somebody else? Nobody else has anything on your heart. Turn to the 17th chapter of the book of Acts. 17th chapter of the book of Acts. While you're turning there, I'm going to mess with you a little bit. Y'all know what messing with you is, don't you? That's a country term for we're going to try to pick at you a little bit and aggravate you some. This bunch over here is doing good. This side here is a little thin. Y'all going to have to recruit a little bit to fill up to balance out the church house now. I'm just kidding. We're glad everybody's here. But there are some cards that have been provided by the church out there. And those cards has the address and the times of our worship services on. Take some of those with you. And if you see somebody that's looking for a church, or maybe just in general, just hand them a card and maybe they'll come. And that's what I want you to do. And it's good for us to invite people into the house of the Lord. We're blessed to have visitors from time to time, but the Lord said for us to go out and compel them to come in, and that means invite, it means to persuade, it means to compel them, and that means take a hold of them sometimes and bring them in to the house of the Lord, and for the one purpose that they might be saved or that they might glorify God. That comes out to the same way, both ways. Anybody got anything on your heart before we go any further? As I said, we're taking our reading lesson from the 17th chapter of the book of Acts of the Apostles. And this is a scripture that I like to quote quite a bit. And I like this verse. And it says in the 30th verse, and it says, "And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent." Now I want you to notice the next verse, because it says, "because." It's important for us to know why. Amen. "Because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead." So we're talking about Jesus Christ is going to be the judge. Now, that is the "because." Our thought today is going to be a familiar thought, and should be one that I guess we hear a lot in our churches. I remember hearing a story years ago about an old preacher who went into a revival service, and the first time that he preached on repentance. The second time he preached on repentance. The third, the fourth, and the fifth. And after the fifth sermon, somebody went up to him and said, "Preacher, don't you know any more sermons other than repentance?" He said, "Well, I'll ask you a question. Has everybody repented yet?" Kind of made him think a little bit, I'd say. The idea is, before salvation comes, there must be repentance. There needs to be a turning towards God. And that's what this message is going to be about today. I realize that we have people that are unsaved. I realize we've got church members here that needs to hear things that will cause them to grow in the Lord. But also, I will say this. You that are saved by the grace of God, have you ever found yourself needing to repent yourself? Not not for salvation, but because of things that have gotten on your mind. You remember our preliminary talk. We talked about turning towards the Lord. We talked about trying to get things going in our lives, getting the world out of there. There's times when each and every one of us allows the world to get into us so much that what we do is we forget about God. We even forget to pray a lot of times. There is a term that I grew up with. Maybe we don't use it as much as we used to. I'm saved, but I'm cold. I'm not talking about freezer cold. I'm talking about cold spiritually. And what I'm talking about, there is times when that we as God's people, when we get in that state, we need to repent. Now, if you say, well, now, wait a minute now. Repentance is something that has to do with salvation. Yes, it does. But for us that are saved, it also has a great thing for us in that it gets us back to the place where that we can pray for the sinners. It gets us to a place where that we can talk to the sinners about their souls. It gets us to a place, and this is the most important part of this, the place where that we can worship God. Usually when we are so cold and indifferent to God's things, we really and truly can't worship. What we'll tend to be is just basically one that is going to a service, and we're sitting in that service. Is he ever going to get done preaching? Well, before that, is he going to ever preach? Is the song service going to bless me? Is somebody going to pray that it's going to help me? Is it going to be something that God laid upon me to give me something? How about turning towards God and as the saying goes, Lord, just let me be one of your servants. I still like to quote John F. Kennedy, President John F. Kennedy, and I'm going to change it to church. Ask not what your church can do for you or what your Lord can do for you, but ask what you can do for your Lord and for your church. And I'm not talking about you ask me or deacons or any of these members here. I'm talking about you ask the Lord. And don't be surprised if you get real earnest with him about it, that he will give you a blessing. He'll give you something to do, and that will end up being a blessing. Now, let's get away from that sermon right there. The idea today is about repentance, and I want us to really consider what true repentance is. I want you to look at a few verses here today, and especially this one here, because a lot of people get in their minds, well, it's not that necessary. I've told you the story about the man that we met in Florida years ago who said that he was a member of a Baptist church. He had decided that he wanted to be a preacher. He went through seminary and graduated and then pastored different churches. And then he heard Brother Nicodemus, the pastor in Florida at that time, he heard him on the radio preaching about repentance, and he called Brother Nicodemus up and asked him, what is this repentance that you're talking about? You see, it's needful that we know what we're talking about when we tell people it's going to take repentance and faith in order to be saved. The Bible commands, notice this, the Bible commands all men to repent. To turn is what that word means. Turn away from your sinful ways and turn towards God. That's what this scripture is talking about. Turning towards God. I'm not talking about, as many people say today, just turning around in the road. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about taking a different road. I'm talking about taking a road that leads towards Jesus Christ. That's the road we're talking about. That is the repentance that we're talking about. The scripture tells us in different places about what he wanted, talking about Jesus himself. In the last chapter of the book of Luke, if you'll look at verse 46, you see the desires of Jesus when he makes this statement in the book of Luke, verse 46, and he says, "Then said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day." That tells us the gospel right there. But listen to what he says. "And that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem," is what he says. He wanted us to know about this repentance, this turning away from your sin, turning away from your unbelief in Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. The remission means the removing of your sin. The Bible tells us in one of the books of the Old Testament, don't know exactly right now where it's at, but it says that God hides our sins from himself. He buries them in the depths of the seas, in a sense. Not the Pacific Ocean, not the Atlantic Ocean, but the seas of time is what I believe it is. Even if he was meaning the Pacific Ocean and it was thousands of feet in under the water, do you believe that you could find your sins again? God has hidden your sins. He washes you and makes you whiter than snow, is what the Bible tells us in the Old Testament. I believe it's in Psalms, is where that's at. But Jesus preached repentance, turning away from your sin, turning away from the things of the world, turning away from Satan, turning away from death unto life, is what he says. Now, as you look at these verses today, I want you to keep in mind that there is a true repentance. I thought I was going one place. Let's go to Hebrews, the 12th chapter. In the book of Hebrews, and I get this man brought up to me from time to time about Esau. Do you remember who Esau was? He was the twin brother of Jacob, who we later came to know as Israel. He had 12 sons, and there, those 12 sons became the nation of Israel. But Esau was his twin brother, and actually he was the eldest brother of them. Now, Esau, being the eldest son, he was the favored son, we'll call him, because he was the firstborn son. According to the traditions of men in those days, he was to get the majority of the inheritance. If there was a blessing that was going to be given by his father, the eldest son got that blessing. But we find in the scripture where it says here in this 17th verse, and it's talking about Esau, "For ye know how that afterwards, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears." Now I have him brought up to me from time to time, and they said, why wouldn't God save Esau? I believe it's in the book of Galatians where it says, "And God hated Esau." Now, that's strong words, and a lot of people says we're not supposed to hate. But I want to give you what that word hate means. It means regard less. God regarded less Esau than he did Jacob. Now, there was a reason why God regarded him less. There was a day when these two young brothers, they were of age, you might say, and Esau had been out hunting all day long, and he had come in. He come in, and have you ever been so hungry? Oh, you just had to have something to eat. You felt like you was just about ready to die of starvation. You felt like there was nothing that should stand in your way of eating something. And Jacob was standing there, and he had a pot of pottage that he had fixed there. And Esau, he came in, he saw that food, and at that moment in time, he wanted that food more than anything else in his life. More than anything else in his life. Have you ever been to that place? That moment in time, let's pick on young men. Well, let's pick on the men. Did you ever see that young woman and you looked at her and, man, she's pretty. I want her. That got Samson in trouble doing that. Ladies, you do the same thing. Let's pick on you just a moment. The ladies do the very same thing. They see something, they want it. Sometimes it's a man. Sometimes it's particular clothing. For us men, it might be a car. It might be something else. But we decide we want it more than anything else. And Esau saw a pot of soup, and he just decided he wanted it more than anything else. You know what he did? Jacob just asked him a question. Would you sell me your birthright for it? Would you like to have just a little bit of food? I'll give you some food, but you sell me your birthright in trade for it. Esau agreed. He thought that wouldn't make any difference. Nobody would ever know what he was doing. He thought, Father will never know that I traded my birthright in name to a pot of soup. He thought that it would go on. And just he would still get the inheritance that he thought that he should have. But the fact of the matter is, God knows your sin. God knew what Esau did. And what the book of Galatians actually tells us, the reason why God hated Esau was because that he despised his birthright. Send a friend, have you ever realized tonight, today you have a birthright. Not just to your family, not just to everybody around you, but you've got a birthright today to be saved by the grace of God. Now what I'm talking about is you've got a right, but do you despise that right? Do you feel like that, well, I would rather have this. Maybe I'd rather have fun for a while longer. Maybe I could enjoy life a little bit more. Maybe I could just go through these things and everything would be okay. And I'll just wait a while. You'll trade that pleasure for a little while. That's what Esau was doing. He was doing that. He traded his birthright for a bowl of soup. Are you trading your soul for a little pleasure? For that young woman, for that young man, for that car, for those shoes, those clothes, those friends that you have? Are you trading those things for those things? Now, what the Bible says there in Hebrews, and you're kind of wondering where I'm going with this, but listen what he says. He said, for you, we know how that afterwards, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected. Now, how did he reject it? The fact of the matter, God knew what Esau had done. I don't know if Isaac knew it or not, but he loved Esau more than Jacob. Jacob was his mother's son. Esau was his father's son. You've seen families like that. They have their favorites. But God intervened. Yeah, it was through deception. It was done in trickery. But Esau gave, Isaac gave Jacob his blessing that he thought he was giving it to Esau. God intervened. It said that Esau, he repented with tears. Now, this is where I'm going. I talked a minute ago about there is a true repentance. I use this example a lot of times. How many of you, with a brother or sister or with a friend or something, maybe you accidentally done something that you brought pain to them? You hit them in the head. We'll say it that. You remember doing that as kids. You threw a ball. You hit them. I could tell you a story, but I ain't going there. The fact of the matter is, you at that moment in time, you're really, really sorry at that time. And you say, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to do it. You really repented. You really turned it wanting forgiveness for that. And then there's those times when mama and daddy said, you tell them you're sorry. I use it. I love the way the kids did it. No, I didn't love it, but I like to mock them. I'm sorry. Was that true repentance? You see, when he saw that his blessing was gone, that was when he repented. When his opportunity to get the inheritance, if you go back over, and I think it's the 26th chapter of Genesis is where it's at, Esau looked at his father, and his father realized that he had given the favored blessing unto Jacob, and he said, son, I've already given out that blessing. You missed it right there. And he started to weep and he says, Father, don't you have a blessing for me? He blessed him, but it wasn't like the blessing that Jacob got. It says that he, even though he sought it with tears, you may think sometimes, well, I repented towards the Lord and he didn't answer me. You may think, well, I actually cried for a while, and the Lord didn't forgive me of that. Did you really and truly repent of your sin? Were you truly and completely asking for forgiveness for your sin? Now, I'm going to give you a verse, and this is coming out of the book of Jeremiah, and I want you to look at this. In the 7th chapter of Jeremiah, listen to what the Lord says through Jeremiah in the 3rd verse. He says, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, amend your ways and your doings. Now, I know there's some of you sitting there that's saying, wait a minute, what's amend? What is that? We don't use that word anymore. I can remember the older people when I was young saying, make amends with somebody. It means to make peace. It means to make it right. When they said make amends with somebody, they said you need to go make it right with them. What the Lord said here, thus saith the Lord, amend your ways, fix your ways, make your ways right, make your heart right. Yes, you need to get your heart right. Not just saying, I'm sorry. Not just saying, Lord, will you save me? Not just getting to the place where that you're going through the motions, but truly making sure that you are right with God. That's true repentance. That is true repentance. That what I want you to understand is that God will not turn away. He will not turn it away. If you truly repent of your sin, and I want you to understand, repentance and faith are inseparable. They are. You know, a lot of times we look at it and we say, well, wait a minute, preacher. You say we just got to put our faith in him. We got to believe in him. We do. You put that repentance in there. When you turn towards God completely, you completely believe that Jesus is Lord. That's completely turning towards Jesus. That's completely repenting of your sin. Oh, preacher, do I really have to do that? What did Paul say to those people there at Athens? That God commanded that all men everywhere repent. That's what God commanded. That's the way that you get salvation. That's the way that you find peace with God. That's the way that you're going to get to go to heaven one of these days, is by completely turning towards God. It's the only way. I realize that there's doctrines out there that will say, well, if you go get baptized. I realize there's doctrines out there that says, well, if you just be a really good person, God will take care of you. I realize that there's a lot of different ideas out there. If you'll worship this little statue, maybe it's a big statue, maybe it's something grand in some ways, maybe you've got something in your life that you value more than anything else. Those things are idols and things that are standing between you and God. And what the Bible says is, except ye repent. Yeah, that's in there too. Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. What does perish mean? It means die completely. And not just physically, but your soul also. Ye shall all likewise perish. Brother Brad, that's going to be our message today. Think about that today. I want every one of you to really consider this. Have you really turned towards Jesus? Yes, preacher, I go to church. Yes, preacher, I go to Sunday school. Yes, preacher, I have claimed to be a Christian. Yes, preacher. But did you completely? I like this example, and Brother Brad, I'll hush after this one remark. I listened to an old preacher out of Arkansas years ago, and he told us in his sermon, he says, I live in blank, blank place in Arkansas. He says, I have 500 acres of the very best land there is. He says, I've got 600, I believe it was, of the prettiest white cows that you will ever see in your life that run that farm. He said, I have all of this. And he says, I profess to have them. But he says, it's different than actual possession. He says, I don't own a thing of that. He says, it's one thing to profess. It's another thing to possess. And that's what I want you to get over. Have you really and truly repented and turned towards God, or are you just professing? Think about that today. Seek God today and truly turn towards Him before it's too late. While we stand and sing.
Page 15, favorite gospel songs.